Locked On Giants, your daily New York Giants podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello, New York Giant fans, and welcome to another edition of Locked On Giants, part of the Locked On Podcast family, your team every day. Patricia Traina here with you, and it is Thursday, October 29th. It is the crossover show with Locked On Bucks, and joining me on this show will be David Harrison. He is one of the co-hosts of the Locked On Bucks podcast. He'll be coming up in just a moment, so glad to have you with us on this particular program. And before we get started, of course, the show is brought to you in part by Pepsi. This football season will be different, and Pepsi is here to get you ready for game day. No matter how you watch the season, Pepsi is the refreshment you need to power through game day and become a member of the League of Football Watchers. These passionate fans are the real generational talent that Pepsi fuels, because Pepsi isn't made for those who play the game, it's made for those who watch it. So go to madeforfootballwatching.com and check out some of the latest football watching content only from Pepsi. All right, Giant fans, we are going to kick it off with Locked On Bucks co-host David Harrison.
Absolutely. Appreciate it. Looking forward to the matchup, and thank you for having me here and talking to you about this contest.
No problem, David. And I think, you know, when we talk about the Bucks, we've got to start with Mr. Brady. He is just totally energized the Tampa Bay franchise. What has he brought to that team? I mean, we see the stats, we see, you know, what they're doing, but what has Bruce Arians been able to do that maybe he wasn't able to do in the past?
Yeah, you know, I mean, Bruce Arians and his coaching staff, they're well known for being excellent teachers on the practice field, excellent teachers in the meeting rooms, and then leaders in the organization and in the franchise. But you also need those leaders in the locker room, you know, and they've had some leaders over the years, the Buccaneers franchise in a whole. And guys like Gerald McCoy have been leaders in that locker room. Levante David has been probably the longest tenured leader on the team right now. JPP, since he arrived from New York, has been an amazing presence, not just on the field when he's healthy, but in that locker room, helping that young defense get to where they've gotten to. But really at the quarterback position, I mean, we all knew that, you know, with Jameis Winston, there's a lot of charisma, and charisma can carry you a long, long way. But at the end of the day, if you're gonna be the guy barking at players or kind of trying to bring the group together, you've also got to be the one who's really not spending the majority of the time also kind of hurting the cause, you know what I mean? And again, that's really not slight towards Jameis Winston. It's kind of the personality he brought to the field, and it's one of the things that made him so electric to watch. But when you look at Tom Brady, you've got kind of that next level leadership ability, that cool, calm, collected professional who knows when to take the risk, when to pull the trigger into double coverage or against tight coverage. But he also knows when to take the small win to lead to the big win, and how to stack, you know, 5-10 yard completions into bringing that defense, shrinking the box a little bit, and then hitting them over the top. The guys like Scotty Miller, 55 yards through the air last week against the Las Vegas Raiders. So those are the things that have been missing from this Buccaneers team, and those are the things that Tom Brady brings. You see him on national television yelling at his offensive lineman, rolling his eyes at his left tackle as Khalil Mack is getting up off of him after a sack, and he gets away with those things because those players also know that when it comes time for the praise to be showered or the credit to be given, that Tom Brady's going to give all that praise, all that credit back to them. So he's going to give as much positive as he gives negative. And the negative is always geared towards getting to that positive.
From a schematic approach, though, has Arians been able to kind of open up an aspect of his playbook that maybe he wasn't able to run when Jameis Winston was in there?
You know, I think the majority of the elements of the offense are really largely the same. You have that deep ball opportunity. You have the short check down opportunity. I mean, Bruce Arians went on record last year during kind of the height of the struggles with Jameis Winston in that offense and said there are check downs in almost every play, or there's a check, they can check into a play that's maybe a little bit safer. Call a hot read when you see the defense on the field and execute that plan. It's just a matter of the quarterback taking it, you know, and at the end of the day, as a quarterback, you know, Tom Brady comes out there, and yeah, maybe the initial read is a deep ball. Maybe it's a larger pass, or they're trying to get a chunk play. But when he comes to the line, he sees the defense and he sees what they're about to do against him. He knows before he snaps the ball whether or not he wants to come off of that initial read. And just because you are the first read in the route doesn't mean you're going to be the first guy that he actually looks at when the play is being executed. We saw a little bit of confusion with that a little bit earlier in the season. We saw him make some throws to maybe guys that were his third read in the progression, and they just weren't expecting the ball to be there that quickly, so they didn't get their head turned around fast enough But what you see as the season goes on is these guys, if Justin Watson is lined up out there, but he knows he's a third guy in progression, he's still getting his head around as quick as he can, because he knows that if Tom sees the right look in the defense, the ball's coming his way very quickly. So I think you have a blend of the two styles, but really at the end of the day, what's really improved is the quarterback execution of knowing how to execute plays, execute the game plan against the defense and what they're showing them.
Now let's talk about the skill players. The receivers, I think, you know, from the outside looking in, would appear to be the strength of that team. And then, of course, you've got Gronk, a tight end, who reunites with Brady. I mean, where do you see the strength of that group? And, you know, who do you think is going to most give the Giant defense fits?
Yeah, so, I mean, on paper, it's the skill position, it's the wide receivers. I mean, Mike Evans, Chris Godwin, Scotty Miller, Justin Watson, even in his role and in his opportunities, can make some plays for the guys. Tyler Johnson, you know, spent a lot of training camp injured, but as he's been able to come into the season, get healthy, get some reps, get on the practice field, he's been able to just, you know, incrementally come in and become a bigger part of this offense. Got a touchdown pass just last week from against the Las Vegas Raiders from Brady, toward, you know, garbage time touchdown, but it counts nonetheless. But then you look at the tight end group, and I mean, O.J. Howard was the number one tight end coming into the room. I think a lot of people expected when Gronk arrived that Gronk was going to be tight end one, but it became very clear very early on that it was still O.J.'s job as the number one quote-unquote tight end, even though 12 personnel really is the Buccaneers' base package. So Gronk and O.J. out there. And then when O.J. leaves with that ruptured Achilles, Gronk fortunately has really been able to kind of accelerate his progress through the season. You know, a year away from the game, a year not playing with Tom, new system, new schemes, new team. It's taken them a little while to really get going, but we've seen in the last 2 weeks, even though Gronk is dealing with a right shoulder injury, they've really been able to get on the same page. But I would say midway through the season right now, really the most valuable skill player the Buccaneers have had has been Ronald Jones. And the biggest part of that has been availability, because while Mike Evans has still been playing, he's been playing injured and he's been playing games. Jake Arians said it on Locked On Bucks on Wednesday. Bruce Arians has said it multiple times in press conferences, talking to the media, that Mike shouldn't have played that Thursday night game against the Chicago Bears. But if Mike doesn't play, then Scotty Miller is suddenly a wide receiver one. Justin Watson is a wide receiver two, so on and so forth. And they just couldn't have that happen. Mike wasn't going to let that happen. So he gets out there on the field, does the best they can. They don't come away with the win, but they definitely put up a bigger fight than they could have. So to me, it's across the board. Really, they're all very, very valuable. I would say on paper, though, the wide receivers, execution-wise, the last 2 weeks, and what the Giants should be looking for is definitely the emergence of Gronk. And then Ronald Jones, due to his availability during the season, has also chipped in there. So I guess all of the above is kind of the answer there. And then Leonard Fournette, I mean, he's healthy again, and you saw what he did against the Raiders. So Giants definitely have a lot of angles to cover in this game.
Now, it all starts up front with the offensive line. And I think the Bucs line has had maybe some shaky start, you know, patches here and there. Where is the weak spot on that offensive line that maybe the Giants can exploit?
Yeah, I mean, the weak spot on that offensive line, I think anybody would say, is the left tackle, Donovan Smith. But even the left tackle, Donovan Smith, has been playing inspired balls but the last 2 weeks. I mean, in the last two games against the Green Bay Packers and the Las Vegas Raiders, that Buccaneers offensive line has given up zero sacks on Tom Brady and only one quarterback hit there against the Raiders. So, I mean, they've done a very good job. Now, earlier in the season against Chicago Bears, especially a guy like Khalil Mack, made Tristan Wirfs look like a rookie, whereas the rest of the season, going against guys like Cameron Jordan, Joey Bosa, et cetera, he's looked like an aged veteran. So the majority of the season, the Tristan Wirfs, specifically the rookie right tackle, has looked really, really good. So we expect him to continue that trend. If there's one offensive lineman I would come into this game saying is probably going to be the issue, if there is one, it's Donovan Smith. But even him, like I said, he's played really well over the last 2 weeks. The entire unit has just been kind of next level over the last 2 weeks.
Probably giving him a little bit more help, I would think, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And then just a little bit of him just getting a little bit more comfortable with Tom. And just, I mean, sometimes Donovan seems to kind of thrive off that negativity. You know, he's very active on social media. He definitely is reading his own mentions. He's definitely, you know, searching his own name and seeing what people are saying. And he kind of enjoys going out there and showing those people that they're wrong about him. Unfortunately, you gotta have to give them the ammo to say that you're a bad left tackle before you can go out there and prove them wrong. But hey, as long as he continues to prove them wrong, you know, that's even better. But yeah, like I said, the Bucs base package really is 12 personnel. That's what they like to run out of the most. I don't know if they've actually run out of 12 personnel statistically the most, but that is what they consider their base package. So having that extra tight end obviously helps.
You are listening to the Locked On Giants podcast, the crossover show with Locked On Bucks co-host David Harrison. We're going to take our first break, come back, and have more right after this. Today's episode is brought to you by RockAuto.com. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. Hey, New York Giant fans, this is Patricia Traina, host of the Locked On Giants podcast, and I'm here to tell you a little bit about my new book, The Big 50, New York Giants, The Men and Moments That Made the New York Giants. This book is a comprehensive collection of stories and events highlighting some of the most memorable moments in the New York Giants franchise history, including unforgettable moments like the 4 Super Bowls, the Eli Manning trade, the greatest game ever played, the transformation of head coach Bill Parcells, Lawrence Taylor, Harry Carson, and so many more. The book also takes you behind the scenes on some of the franchise's changing moments, such as the fumble, the passings of Wellington Mara and Bob Tisch, the final farewell of the old Giants Stadium, and so much more. Featuring 50 chapters and over 300 pages of rich storytelling and detail, complete with loads of photos, this paperback will transport you back in time to the memories as they unfolded and give you a look behind the scenes at some of the men who made them happen. With a foreword written by former general manager Ernie Accorsi, the Big 50 New York Giants is a must-have for every New York Giants fan. So be sure to pick up your copy today at Amazon, Barnes & Noble's, or wherever else books are sold. And thank you for your support. Welcome back, Giant fans, to Locked On Giants, Patricia Traina, and it is the crossover show with Locked On Bucks co-host David Harrison, segment 2, coming right up.
All right, now let's flip over to the defensive side of the ball, and we've got to start with old friend JPP. Yeah. You know, he still looks like he's playing at a high enough level. I mean, what has he brought to the Bucks defense, and how can he be a thorn in the side of the Giants' shaky and inconsistent offensive line?
Oh, I mean, you guys already know JPP is a man that brings his own motor. He brings his own juice. He doesn't need bulletin board material. He doesn't need any of that stuff. But when you give him primetime lights, when you give him a team that's at the top of the NFC South, really atop the NFC, looking to just pile on to that reputation and get to the playoffs, get back to a Super Bowl. You know, he's at the twilight of his career, so this might be his last chance of getting a Super Bowl ring this year or next year. And then he's playing across from Tom Brady, who he obviously has experience playing against, but now is a teammate of. And then it's the New York Giants. So, I mean, I don't think that JPP has a whole lot of hatred towards the New York Giants by any means, but anytime you're going up against your old team, your old logo, your old colors, there's a little bit more extra juice there. But I mean, honestly, the leadership, like I said before, has been just kind of the biggest part of what JPP has provided, but that is not in any way to take away from his play on the field. And even when he's not necessarily notching, you know, the 1 or 2 sack games or 3 sack games, getting the strip fumbles, every quarterback knows where JPP is. At the same time, they're watching the opposite side of the field for Shaq Barrett. And I mean, JPP's presence just makes Shaq Barrett that much better and really makes that entire front 7 kind of go. And it's just been incredibly invaluable what Jason Pierre-Paul brings to that Buccaneers defense.
Who's the most underrated player or unit on that Bucs defense?
So I used to say it was Lavonte David, but I think that everybody literally says Lavonte David is the most underrated Buccaneers player. So I don't think he's underrated anymore. You know what I mean? I would think maybe it's Scotty Miller, you know what I mean? Not on the defense, obviously, but on the Buccaneers team, maybe it's Scotty Miller, but even he, I mean, he's getting a lot of praise as well nowadays. You know, so I don't know, maybe you can't really go. I mean, it's the Tom Brady effect. Everybody is getting praise. So I guess I would have to say Jordan Whitehead or maybe Jamel Dean. You know, Jamel Dean is quite the playmaker himself on the defense there, the cornerback. Usually he's coming in as the number 3 cornerback on that team. Sean Murphy Bunting hasn't really played up to the level a lot of people kind of hoped he would. You can't say Antoine Winfield Jr. because, I mean, he's been a stud since, you know, week 1, and everybody knows who he is. So I guess Jamel Dean has to be the harder answer, number 3 cornerback there. But, you know, if Daniel Jones decides to target him because he's a little bit further down the depth chart, Jamel Dean picked off Aaron Rodgers there, his first interception of the season, took it back for a pick 6. He might do the same thing against Daniel Jones.
Now, on the flip side, who are you most worried about on that defense? I mean, where can the Giants really expose that defense?
I guess I would have to say Jordan Whitehead. You know, Jordan Whitehead, better known as a tackler than he is a cover guy. So if you can get Jordan Whitehead isolated on a matchup, I look at Evan Engram, and, you know, we all know that Evan Engram can present matchup challenges for defenses. If they can get Evan Engram isolated on a guy like Jordan Whitehead, Jordan Whitehead has some athleticism, but he doesn't have the size as a safety that is going to really overpower a guy like Engram, and Ingram's got more athleticism, the ability to kind of get open on him and get past him. And if he can do that, and they can do that in a way that causes the Buccaneers defense kind of lose that second line of security, then that's where you see Evan Engram come in with a potential big play. But for the most part, if they've got Jordan Whitehead covering a wide receiver, it's as a part of a combo coverage, or he's got kind of the deep half, or he's playing a bracketed coverage against the guy. So there, it's pretty rare from what I've noticed to see him in single, you know, single manned up coverage by himself. And there's a reason for that. But if they can get a guy like Evan Engram matched up against him by himself, that's definitely a combination. That's definitely a situation that the Giants could exploit.
Do the Bucs usually have their corners travel with the opponent's best receivers, or do they play sides?
You know, it's hit or miss. I would say that mostly they play sides. Without pulling up the data myself right in front of me, from what I've observed, I would say they usually play to their side, but there are occasions, especially certain formations, certain looks, and that's something that Todd Bowles will really do. You're never going to be able to come out as an offense, as a quarterback, and say, okay, I know that when I line up like this, I've got these matchups. You're going to have to take the time to come to the line of scrimmage, look at what they do, and then someone, I can't remember who it is, so I can't credit them at the point, but it was a really good point they made that when they said they look at Todd Bowles' defense, he runs his defense like an offense. So when you're up at the line of scrimmage, you go with that hard count trying to see if you can give away a blitz. They might give away a blitz, but at the same time, they might give away that blitz by design to get you to think one thing when they're actually doing another. So instead of reacting to just what you're doing on an offense, they're actually trying to manipulate you into doing some of the things that you end up doing against them because they have a plan for that. So it's really kind of brilliant to see the way they do it. I mean, if you're Daniel Jones, you might run a guy like, say, Slayton across the formation in motion to see if they identify man, identify zone, and you might get a man look. But then as soon as you snap the ball, they actually drop back into zone, but then they blitz the safety, drop back an off-ball linebacker, and you've got an entirely different defense than what you thought you were about to have, vice versa. And then sometimes it comes straight up. You know, you think you have a man look, and then you get man coverage. But as a quarterback, you see so many different things that the Todd Bowles defense does. You're never able to take that split-second decision at the line of scrimmage, put it into practice without being worried that you're wrong. And any hesitation, you know this, any hesitation in the National Football League, especially from a quarterback position, can really hurt a football team.
Yeah, absolutely. And Todd Bowles is a very underrated, I think, very underrated defensive coordinator.
And we need to keep him there so he doesn't get bought away in the offseason.
That was a really, really good hire by Bruce Arians and the Bucks. I mean, Todd Bowles, I don't know why the Jets got rid of him. I really don't. I mean, especially considering what they've got now.
You are listening to the Locked On Giants podcast with Patricia Traina and my special guest, Locked On Bucks co-host David Harrison. We're going to take our final break, come back, and wrap up the show. Stay with us.
This football season will be different. And Pepsi is here to get you ready for game day, no matter how you watch this season. Pepsi is the refreshment you need to power through game day and become a member of the League of Football Watchers. Because Pepsi isn't made for those who play the game, it's made for those who watch it. So be sure to pick up a nice cool Pepsi to enjoy while you watch Giants football. And don't forget, check out madeforfootballwatching.com for the latest football watching content exclusively from Pepsi.
Welcome back, Giant fans, to Locked On Giants. Patricia Traina here with you, and it is the crossover show with Locked On Bucks co-host David Harrison, and we're going to wrap up this segment with a few final thoughts.
Give me your keys to the game. If you're the Giants, how do you put together, you know, an overall game plan to attack this Bucs team that just doesn't seem to have a whole lot of weaknesses?
Yeah, you and I talked before, and I mean, you have to pressure Tom Brady. If you can't pressure Tom Brady, as a defense, you are in for a very, very long game. It's going to feel like you played two full games against this Tampa Bay offense with the amount of time you're going to spend on the field. I think it was three drives last week against the Raiders where the Buccaneers took the ball down and had at least five first downs on that drive on their way to putting points up on the board. And when you're a defense, when you're on the field for 15 or more first downs over the span of three straight drives, you're just going to be gassed. You're not going to have any juice left for the stretch run for that final stand that you might need to make if the Giants offense can keep it close. So getting pressure on Tom Brady, not letting them string together those drives, because that's exactly what he'll do. The highlights on NFL Game Day or on, you know, Good Morning Football or on SI.com might be the 55-yard bomb to Scotty Miller for a touchdown and all those things. But really, what is really going to get the Buccaneers in the win column are those 5-yard dump offs that Leonard Fournette turns into a 13-yard gain on 3rd and 13. You have to get off the ball in those off the field in those situations as a defense. As an offense, I think it's really kind of similar. Mimic what Tom Brady does. Take what the defense gives you. It's very easy. We've seen a lot of people do it against the Buccaneers this season. When they start putting points on the board and you start falling back a little bit, you kind of get a little pass happy because you're not going to be able to run the ball. But you've got to at least try to establish that run against that defense to keep them honest. Because if you just start going pass happy and you let Todd Bowles and you let that unit know that you're just getting pass happy, they're going to punish you for it in a very real way. You've got to fight the urge to kind of try to get it all back at once and take that two-yard run when you can get it. Take that 3-yard dump off when you can get it. Try to make a man miss. The Buccaneers defense tackles so well. So having somebody miss is a really big deal. But if you can get one defender to miss and turn that into, you know, from a 2nd and 8 to a 3rd and 2, you've got to take that opportunity to do so. Because if you come out there down by 7 points, down by 10 points, trying to get it all back on 1st and 10, you're just going to find yourself in 3rd and 12, 3rd and 13, and the game's going to be over before you know it.
And then last question here, David, fill in this blank for me.
Yeah.
The New York Giants can ill afford to do blank.
Turn over the ball. I mean, that's just, you know, that Buccaneers defense has so much fun playing the game. And if, you know, any Giants fan out there, anybody connected to the Giants that just enjoys fun football, go check out the Tampa Bay Buccaneers social media page there on Twitter there and go look at the video they did. Antoine Winfield Jr. was mic'd up for the game against the Las Vegas Raiders. Perfect timing as he gets his first interception. You can't help but smile when you watch a guy like Antoine Winfield Jr. play football. But really what he does, he's just added excitement and juice to a unit that's already excited and juiced. I mean, when you have Devin White on your defense, you can't help but play with energy. Every time that Buccaneers defense turns over the opposing offense, their excitement just gets bigger. The energy just gets heavier. And they're not a unit, at least so far, knock on wood, right, that has shown that when they get that hyped up, that they make mistakes. A lot of people, they get so excited that they overbite or they overcommit and they make a mistake. This Buccaneers defense gets better and better the more excited, the more hyped up they get. When JPP and Levante David meet the quarterback and do a synchronized celebration, that's trouble for any opposing offense. So they cannot give the ball away. They cannot give possessions away to this defense, or else Daniel Jones, he's going to be primed up for an Eli Manning, you know, I don't know what to call it, resting Eli face on Monday night if they start doing those things. So that's the key. I mean, that's the first foremost. You have to protect the ball against this defense.
Tall order. I think Daniel Jones turned the ball over in all but one game. And the one game that he didn't turn it over, he actually lost the handle, but they recovered it. It was a December game, I think, against Washington. And, you know, otherwise hasn't been very pretty from him, you know, interceptions. Yeah. I mean, not all his fault, but certainly it's been a problem. So anyway, David, appreciate the input. Tell everybody where they can find you and your work.
Absolutely. So covering the Tampa Bay Buccaneers for 6 seasons now. This is my 6th season doing this. Currently writing for SB Nation's BucksNation.com and then on Twitter at DHarrison82 at the Locked On Bucks podcast 5 days a week, of course. And then, that's pretty much it.
All right. He is David Harrison of the Locked On Bucks. I am Patricia Traina, host of Locked On Giants and the main writer at GiantsCountry.com. Thanks so much for tuning in. We appreciate you. We'll see you on Monday Night Football.
All right, Giant fans, that'll do it for this edition of Locked On Giants. Thank you so much for tuning in to this, the crossover show. And make sure you tune in on Friday. We'll have another show for you. And then, of course, on Monday, we'll have a quick hit for you before the Giants and Buccaneers kick off Monday night against each other at MetLife Stadium. Until then, we'll talk to you soon.